This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So on this week's episode, Mark Jackson takes on as guest co-host. Mark, welcome aboard.
Gene, thanks for having me. I'm always happy to sit in, and I'm really excited about this week's guest.
We'll talk about our guest, Brooks Agnew, in just a moment. But I wanted to mention last week's episode, which I thought was interesting in a number of ways. That was with Tim Swartz, who, of course, writes a lot of interesting books in the paranormal, working with Tim Beckley. And it was interesting about the comments we had from listeners. And a few wondered, well, this guy says he's got some Emmys. Did he really get those Emmys? I think that's part of the skepticism we see in the field, where some people claim to have different credentials. And those credentials are totally fake or partly fake. And guess what? His Emmys, as he kind of admitted on the show or acknowledged, were mostly for production work, videography, that kind of thing, not for being an actor or a producer or a director. And what Tim finally did was to post in our forums a photo of two of the Emmys. I think that discussion ended very quickly.
Good follow-up, Gene. And also, in light of that, there's a component of synchronicity at play here because, you know, as you and Randall were talking to Tim last week and the Hall of Earth came up, simultaneously and unbeknownst to me, I was speaking and coordinating with Brooks on this very subject. I think this is a great way to connect the two shows, where last week we went pretty far out on the speculation limb in terms of the whole idea of the Hollow Earth and the idea and the data that supports it. But I'd really like to, and pun intended here, drill down with Brooks into the actual science that supports it as well. And I think this is a great opportunity for our listeners to get some of the lore, and then we can drive into some of the data. And so in that way, I'm appreciating the synchronicity this way. Thank you both for being here, Gene and Brooks.
My pleasure. Good to be here. Thanks, guys.
Now, as our listeners know, my exposure to Hollow Earth lore comes from a couple of different places. So, for example, the fantasy sci-fi writer Edgar Rice Burroughs, who did Tarzan, of course, he wrote a series of novels about Pellucidar, a civilization that existed beyond the poles in the Hollow Earth. And he based that on works about Hollow Earth that preceded him. He mentioned them in the framing or opening sequence of his book. We had, of course, Ray Palmer, who was well-known in the UFO field. He was the co-founder of Fate magazine. And, of course, when he had the position of editor of Amazing Stories, he brought on Richard Shaver, who claimed to have met up with creatures within the Earth in caverns, the Deiros and Tiros. And, of course, that goes back to legends of Lemuria and legends of some kind of catastrophe in ancient times where some people left our planet. But Palmer really went full square on it, because he picked up on all the stories about the Hollow Earth and ran them in Flying Saucers magazine. And even ran a photo, I think it was a weather photo or something, don't know if you saw it, Mark, where it looked like we were seeing a Hollow Earth. Of course, it looked more like cloud formations, but, oh, this is the Hollow Earth. It is real. You can travel beyond the poles and find this entrance. Now, in Pellucidar, they use a balloon. Then we have the stories, of course, about Admiral Byrd, about allegedly discovering the Hollow Earth, the land beyond the poles, the hole at the poles, whatever they are. And of course, that was highly disputed, but Tim Swartz wrote one or two books about that subject, exploring it. So that's where we kind of got into this. And I was reading the information that Mark had posted about you, Brooks Agnew, and you have a very, very interesting scientific background. And maybe before we get into the subject, tell us how you got started and what kind of work you do.
I'm a scientist and I work in the engineering field. I have specialized in three different industries. One is high-speed manufacturing, all kinds, automobile and automobile parts. Also chemical engineering for polymers and for fuels and things like that. And the other is electronic power systems, like for electric vehicles. So that's been my three areas of expertise. In 2001, I was giving a lecture. I mentioned something about the speed of light and astrophysics and different things like that. And this woman approached me after the talk and said, "Hey, I got an idea for a book on the creation of the Earth." And I said, "Well, that's nice. You know, good luck with that." She said, "Well, I have some drawings I want to show you and see if you know what they are." And she showed me, and I said, "Well, that kind of looks like a particle accelerator. That kind of looks like a radio antenna. This looks like some kind of electrical intensifier or amplifier." And she said, "Well, that's what I thought too, but these drawings are 5,000 years old." Well, that got my interest. So long story short is we wrote a series of books called The Ark of Millions of Years. This is what Noah called his ship, The Ark of Millions of Years. It was a nonfiction book. It was designed to delve into the advent of what was going to take place in about 10 years, which was the advent of 2012. We had, of course, the catalyst of what the Mayans had written about, but we had 44 ancient cultures that had an idea that the Earth was really made of two parts. It was made of a high energy part and a low energy part. They called it the spirit matter and temporal matter, or higher Earth and lower Earth. And even in Genesis, it talks about the creation of a higher Adam and a lower Adam. The reason that all these cultures spent so much time and so much effort meticulously telling this story is that sometime at the end of the age, which according to the Mayans was the year 2012, the two Earths would begin to come back apart. In all of this, there was this idea that there was a life force with which humanity had a symbiotic relationship that came from the inner Earth. I guess it was around 2001, 2002, somebody handed me a book. I don't know, I think it was called Our Hollow Earth. And I read it, and I was amused, and I put it on the shelf and really didn't think about it again until the first book came out. It came out in 2004. It was originally 1,000 pages, and we trimmed it back to 560 at the pleadings of our publisher, which we did. And when it got published, I told my co-author, E.J. Clark, "Look, you buy five copies, I'll buy five copies, and we'll say, hey, you know, we're authors, we did it." We didn't realize 3 months later that that book turned into a bestseller. We made a ton of money on that book. I didn't know people were interested in this stuff, but wow, were we surprised. So we took the profits from that book and we decided to travel the world and continue the study until it was four volumes, 2,000 pages. It was really the most comprehensive set of nonfiction books ever done on the origin and destiny of the Earth. So that's how I got involved in this space. Now, I still wasn't a big, you know, Hollow Earth proponent. I wasn't a believer. I wasn't a follower. I wasn't a convert. But long about 2006, a couple things happened in the space exploration realm that kind of changed everything. One was the ELCON mission. The ELCON mission was a lunar space program. It was a lunar orbiter that surveyed the surface of the moon for a while, and then it dropped a very heavy, about 500 kilogram slug into the south pole of the moon. And of course, when it struck at, you know, 1,000 miles an hour or something like that. Anyway, it created a crater and blew a whole bunch of material out into space, which we examined from Earth with spectrographic instruments, and we discovered that there was water ice on the moon. But the remarkable thing was the images that this sent back from the moon. It took pictures of the moon, of course, but it wasn't always aimed at the moon. Sometimes it was aimed at the Earth.
Before we do that, let me do the break and then we'll go into this. We're looking at evidence, possible evidence of a hollow Earth. Brooks Agnew,
Our guest co-host this week is Mark Jackson. It means you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Okay, so a watch is good, and some jewelry. Better grab some flowers, too.
Hey, what you doing?
Mother's Day, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm making lists, gotta plan a trip to the store, then need to save all the receipts in case she wants to return.
You know there's an easier way, right?
I'm guessing you do?
Yes, I'm gonna show you the easy, quick way to shop for Mom, and save 30% at sunshine-pillows.com.
Ah, pillows. Mm-hmm. Great idea.
Oh, not just pillows. Sunshine-pillows.com has the best selection of custom heated neck wraps and heated neck pillows.
She always says she has stress.
And aches and pains, right? Look, they have hot and cold therapy products.
Ooh, it says we can buy any select combo up to $150 and get 30% off.
Yep, just use this promo code MOM30.
You know, for a little brother, you're pretty smart.
Get something for every mom on your list and save 30% when you spend up to $150 on any select combo. Now through Mother's Day only at sunshine-pillows.com. Use promo code MOM30. Sunshine-pillows.com, your complete line of therapeutic pillows and pads.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. Blockitpocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at Blockitpocket.com or call 888-315-9618. Blockitpocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny because they haven't chosen to take the first step towards the life they've always dreamed of. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Start small or dream big. Work part-time or full-time. You choose the pace. Just visit startlivingyoung.com. That's startlivingyoung.com. And click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health products company that spent 5 years on the Inc. 5,000 fastest-growing private companies in America list. With over $1 billion a year in sales, they'll provide all the tools you need to thrive and succeed. And you'll be blown away by how little it takes to get started. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab at the top of the page. 2019 will be the year your new life begins. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Mark Jackson, our guest host, Brooks Agnew, is our guest this week. He's also host of X Squared Radio, and we were talking about how they came to discover possible evidence of a hollow earth. Let's get more into that, Brooks.
Sure. Well, as it turns out, one of these space programs
generated an image of Earth from space, and it showed auroras over both poles at the same time. Well, that is not what we understood was the origin of these auroras. We thought the auroras were caused by solar wind, and the wind only blows on one side of the planet at a time, you know, depending on whether it's winter or summer. And because of our Earth, it's tilt toward the sun or away from the sun, depending on which time of year it is. And that really turned everything upside down. My colleagues down at JPL put together another space program called the Themis program. And this basically consisted of a large nose cone with five satellites inside of it. So they launched it. The five satellites were put into different orbits. And when they lined up with each other, they turned the experiment on and they measured the energy of space because they were trying to determine the source, the origin of these auroras. And what happened was there was an explosion, an interdimensional explosion that took place between satellites 3 and 4. And what happened was the explosion, of course, went out in 360 degrees in all directions, and it passed satellites 4 and 5 and went out to space. It passed satellites 3, 2, 1, and when it struck the Earth, boom, there was the aurora. So they published a paper that said the auroras are caused by cosmic bullets. And that was it. That was the end of that program. I wasn't buying it. I said, there's more to this story. There just has to be. So I started investigating a little bit more. I had to switch sciences from cosmological to geological. Turns out the USGS, which is the United States Geological Survey, it measures earthquakes all the time. You know, the little squiggly lines every time there's an earthquake. What happened was Dr. Y. Sessions with Washington University commissioned a grant for his grad students to go through 600,000 seismograms. These are the little squiggly printouts that are done every time there's an earthquake. Well, the seismograms were generated by the listening stations all around the world. So every time there's a big quake, like in Chile or Malaysia or Japan or whatever, the quake thumps the planet. The vibrations go through the globe. They're picked up by listening stations on the other side of the globe. And depending on how long it took to get there and what angle it attacked and all these things, they generated information from this. Well, they wrote a program. They crunched the images, and what they came up with was a kind of CAT scan of the Earth. And what they published stunned the world because they said they found another ocean the size of the Arctic Ocean underneath the Atlantic Ocean, inside the planet, against the crust. They could see the waves crashing on a shore inside the planet. And that really started the ball rolling. That got a lot of people in a lot of different sciences interested. In 2007, the planet underwent very anomalous, a lot of people call it global warming, but it was just kind of a spike in temperature. The Arctic got warm, the wind shifted, a big, huge chunk of ice broke off, and it opened up the Northwest Passage for the first time in, we don't know when, maybe 20,000 years. The next year, 2008, we were going to do an expedition to the Arctic Circle to see if we could find an opening in the crust. Maybe it was 4,400 meters under the water, but we were just going to look for the opening. Well, as you know, 2008 had something else in mind for the economy, so we didn't go. But the National Science Foundation did commit their every five-year grant to go sample rays off the coast of Malaysia. I'm talking about stingrays and manta rays. And as it turns out, rays mutate very easily in the face of environmental stress. Temperature changes, salinity changes, pollution, chemicals in the water. Rays mutate very easily, kind of like tree frogs do in the Amazon. And so they went to survey the rays in 2008. And instead of finding the normal 25 to 50 mutations, they found 1,500 new species. We're not talking about mutations. We're talking about new species, things we have not seen before. or things we have not seen in a long time, like things we only have seen in fossils, like frilled sharks or dorsal squids, or, you know, just crazy beasts that we haven't seen, you know, since before man got here, they say. But here they were, alive and well and mature and caught in the nets. And so we realized that maybe these two oceans, the one on the inside and the one on the outside, they're blending. And the sea life is kind of migrating into our ocean. And so that really got us excited about the possibility that not only is the planet hollow, but maybe there is complex life there. Now, we switch back to cosmology, and we discover shortly thereafter that Pluto isn't a planet after all because it's hollow. And in 2014, this is pretty recent, we discovered, after crunching all the data from a long, long trip around the planet Uranus with a satellite, that there's another planet on the inside of Uranus, a whole other planet on the inside of the gas giant. So all these things that we once thought we knew about the way planets form was all wrong. We thought we lived on a molten ball floating through space, living on tectonic plates, you know, with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Mm. And that turns out not to be the case at all. Believe it or not, about that same year, about 2012 to 2014, they started measuring or listening for the frequency of what the core is made out of. And they determined, long story short, that the core is solid iron. That's a little bit strange because it doesn't exist in nature that way. I don't know how much time we have in this segment, but there are a couple chemical laws that we find ourselves kind of confused about. One is called the law of partial pressures. If you have, say, a bottle of soda and the cap is on tight, and you know there's a little air gap like underneath the cap, and then you have the liquid, right? Well, you can sample that airspace between the cap and the liquid, and it should have a proportional amount of chemicals as the pop has in it. It's called the law of partial pressures. We do that with the Earth, too. And one of the elements that should be there that's not there is xenon. Xenon's missing. I mean, a lot of it is missing. We should have a certain amount of xenon in our atmosphere, and we don't.
Brooks Agnew, host of X Squared Radio, is with us, and we're talking about what he regards as evidence that the Earth is hollow, and we're not alone in our solar system on having, like, almost the equivalent of another world inside what might lie there. Mark is our guest co-host this week. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
In a surprise turnaround, it looked like a horse named Maximum Security won the Kentucky Derby, but that's not what happened.
They disqualified. They did. So for the first time in the history of the Kentucky Derby, the horse that crossed the line first has been disqualified. After the objection, Country House wins the Kentucky Derby with Flavian Pratt at 65-1.
With those odds, someone made a bundle. The call, courtesy of NBC Sports. Maximum Security was disqualified for interfering with other horses. Illinois officials say one person is dead and two others are missing in an explosion and fire at a chemical plant. The rescue and recovery teams are shoring up the damaged building so they can safely continue their work. This is USA Radio News.
Does your business spend $500 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly, with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings.
800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381. That's 800-941-3381.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Brooks, we're just listening. We want to get a handle on the evidence you have, and then we'll go on. And Mark has some questions for you. He's a geologist, by the way.
Great. I love it. I like questions.
Brooks, I got to tell you, it's not a coincidence that you're on the show today. Before we get too far, I got to go back because I think some of our listeners are going to ask a pretty straightforward question. When we had the ice, the big release of the ice sheet you're talking about that allowed the species of rays to communicate with, you know, this upper oceanic layer, and these are brand new species, didn't that help us pinpoint a potential location for that communication conduit between the oceans?
Well, pinpoint's kind of a...
Yeah, that's broad, but what did it tell us about in terms of general location?
Right. We've got it down to probably 15,000 square miles, which can be done in 15 days.
That, you know, we're tracking this, and we actually have a spot on the Earth where if we were going to visit or, you know, embark on some sort of adventure... That would probably be the first place that we would go. Brooks, I know that you've been heavily involved with an effort to visit Antarctica to prove some of these things. Maybe you can tell our listeners two things. One, about the history of what the mainstream scientific view is on the core of the Earth, and then why it's so important, or please transition us into the validation or actually physically going to. And that line of evidence would drive us to think that we need a new expedition.
Sure. First of all, for the record, it's not the Antarctic. It's the Arctic.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
It's two totally different biospheres. The Antarctic is actually a continent that's covered with ice, and then the ice, you know, spreads out into the sea. And there are lots and lots of projects going on in the Antarctic. The Arctic is totally different in that it's kind of an archipelago. That is to say, it's a wide open ocean that has a few islands. Typically, when we look at the Arctic, there are two aspects to it. One is what we call red ice, which is permanent ice, ice that lasts through the summer, and then it snows on top of that ice in the winter, and it stays pretty much covered in ice all the time. Submarines have sailed under it, you know, for 50 years. The reason that this gets interesting is when we had these indicators, one, of course, was the rays, and the other was a idea that with this Northwest Passage open for the first time, that it would make an excellent opportunity to go see this area from sea level. It's never been seen from sea level, ever. This is a whole new Earth that's never been seen before by human eyes. We've flown over it, but that doesn't count because it's mostly covered by clouds all the time. Nobody's ever covered it on ice because it's just too treacherous. You're talking, these aren't ice sheets like, you know, you would find on, you know, Lake Michigan. These are like ice mountains. They push and move all the time, and they're very treacherous. There's just almost no way that any sane person would sled across it. It'd be like trying to sled across an ice sheet the size of the United States, mountains and all. You just couldn't carry enough food to make it that far. So the only way to do this is with a nuclear-powered icebreaker. You have to have enough fuel supply, enough weight, and there's only one company in the world that operates those, and that's the Murmansk Shipping Company out of Murmansk, Russia. And that's exactly the ship that we are going to charter, the Arctica, which is big enough, heavy enough, and it has an ice-rated hull. It is an icebreaker. It's the biggest icebreaker in the world. It can do this mission. So the thing that really got us excited about this, also from another viewpoint, is the realization we started measuring our magnetosphere about 3 years ago from space. We've been measuring it from the Earth, but it's not that easy to do. My ancestor, Sir James Ross, discovered the North Magnetic Pole in 1831, and it was his second try to find it. First one, he lost his ship, but the second time he did find it. Not too hard to find on Earth, but from space, what we realized when we started watching this thing every 2 hours is that it wobbles a lot. It moves around, and it appears to be moving right now at a rate of about 25 to 30 miles a year toward the Siberian desert. That's like across town. That's a big move. Some people are saying, well, you know, we're getting ready for a pole shift. Well, maybe not. I mean, we've only been looking at it for 3 or 4 years, so we don't really have perspective yet. It may oscillate back and forth. What it really does is it opens up a question about the structure of the planet. Now that we know that the Earth has this iron core, and we also know that that iron is cross-linked with xenon, that's where all the missing xenon went to, we know what the frequency, the actual musical tone, let's just call it, of that core is, and all we really needed was a way to duplicate it to prove it. So that's exactly what happened. First they did it in Japan, then they did it at Carnegie Science. They built a diamond anvil press. They put iron and xenon in a crucible. They crushed it between the diamonds. Then they shot a laser through it to heat it up to the temperature they think the core exists at, and bingo, they got the same frequency signature. So, and that's been repeated several times and validated. So now we know that the Earth has this spinning solid iron crystal in the center of it, which is, by the way, over 14 grams per cubic centimeter. If that's the case, and we're pretty darn sure it is based on that chemical structure, and we know the diameter of our planet, and we know how far away our planet is from the sun, and we know how long it takes to go around the sun, we know exactly how much the Earth weighs from those numbers. The only thing that's off is the diameter of Earth. The diameter of Earth is too big. It's too big for where it is in the orbit, which means there's space between the core and the crust. We know from the geological data that the crust is about 900 miles thick, but the planet is about 7,000 miles thick. So the crust total, 1,800 miles, take that away from 7,100, We have a core we think is somewhere around 1,500 to 1,800 miles in diameter. That leaves a gap. That leaves an air gap between the core and the crust. And this is not a vacuum. This is a biosphere. And it is bathed in white light from the iron crystal, just like a grow light is in your basement. So plants will grow. If you have plants and you have liquid water, I can guarantee you there will be life there.
Brooks, are you familiar with the work of Thomas Gold by chance in the deep hot biosphere theory?
I have read a couple of his papers, and it makes sense. If you're, I mean, humans right now, we could probably take, on a routine basis, we can take 200, maybe 215 degrees, as long as it's pretty dry. If it's humid, we can take between 140 and 150, and not for very long, an hour or two at the most. We're just not built for it. But there are other animals that can take that kind of temperature.
What Thomas Gold was positing, and he worked closely with the Russians a number of decades ago on a theory called abiogenic hydrocarbons. And for the audience, basically, that's primordial organic material or molecules.
Yeah, and, well, it's not dinosaurs. We're not talking about dead trees. We're talking about constantly generated hydrocarbons.
We're talking about the possibility here that the Earth is hollow, and the scientific evidence that our guest Brooks Agnew presents to demonstrate it's a reality. I wanted to let you know, neighbors, that we have some really big surprises coming on the After the Paracast podcast. It's available only if you subscribe to the Paracast Plus. For more information, please check out plus.theparacast.com. Once again, that's plus.theparacast.com. Okay, we've got Brooks Agnew with Gene and Mark. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state, until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Very well. Brooks Agnew, Mark Jackson, our guest co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. And we're talking here about the evidence that appears to point to a hollow earth. Brooks, go ahead, please.
When we talk about science, one of the things that we do is we come up with a hypothesis, and then we try to design experiments to either prove or disprove that hypothesis. And if we can't disprove it, then, you know, it can eventually become a theory. We've been talking about hollow earth for a long, long time. I think Sir Edmund Halley first did it in 1629. Then there were some stories written about it, and then we had several individuals who tried to search for it. Admiral Byrd flew over it in 1926, and there were rumors about what he discovered there. But we don't really have enough solid evidence to support or deny a hypothesis that planets form as hollow spheres. So that doesn't stop science, by the way, not at all. We go ahead and write the textbooks and we teach our kids, hey, this is the kind of world that we live on, and we live on a molten ball, and the lava's flowing around on the inside of the planet, and that's what makes a magnetosphere. But we've never been able to validate that ever. The furthest we've drilled into the planet's only 8 miles. That's like scratching the tabletop. It's not even close to getting an idea. But when you take the data from all these different sciences, from space programs, from oceanography, from geology, from atmospheric partial pressure measurements that we're taking all the time with aircraft, we have enough data that we can pretty much throw out that original model of Earth, which means now we have a clean slate and we have some evidence that points in the direction that planets may actually form as hollow spheres instead of solid balls.
Let's draw an analog. And so how deep into the Earth can life from the surface exist? And where does that transition take place? Of course, at the bottom of the oceans, we have the black smokers, where they have hydrocarbons available to them, specifically methane. And there's an entire ecosystem built around the methane seeps at the bottom of these oceans. Okay, so what a lot of the listeners or audience may not have been exposed to is the fact that stars produce methane, or in other words, they produce organic molecules as much as they form, you know, silica and all the other elements sure. that we find in our Earth. Okay,
yeah.
So when the planets are formed, part of the accretion composition, in other words, there's a portion of the Earth that is made up of what we would call that primordial methane, or that abiogenic methane. So as the Earth kind of churns, for lack of a better term, because as you pointed, you know, Brooks, we don't really know what happens in the inner of the Earth, But what we do have proof of is that the Earth is constantly off-gassing methane into the environment. And the evidence for this is things like mud volcanoes and deserts where we'll have methane seeps, et cetera. So we know that there is a very deep food source for life within the Earth that is completely separate ecosystem from that of photosynthesis. Brooks?
Yeah, I was in the oil and gas industry for a while. I helped develop the ground probing radar, which searches for petroliferous zones in the ground. Oil is just, long chain unsaturated hydrocarbons. So you got methane, which is a CH3, and then ethane, and then propane, and then, you can just keep going up, and then you start forming double bonds and triple bonds, so you get ethene and propylene and all these different chemicals. And before long, you've formed with pressure and some catalytic action, you have formed long-chain hydrocarbons, which is what we pump out of the ground as crude oil. Some of it's light sweet crude and some of it's, black sludge, and it has to go through various chemical properties to break it down into components that we can use to make solvents and dyes and fibers and polymers and monomers and all that stuff. But that's basically the lifeblood of energy on our planet. And it did not come from dinosaurs, and it may have come a little bit from algae, but mostly you're exactly right. It's being generated by geological processes inside the planet.
And again, if we're having this off-gassing of methane throughout the evolution or just the processes within the Earth, again, the point is that there is a very rich food source, even independent, again, of photosynthesis, where a hollow Earth ecology could exist. As you've stated, Brooks, when you add in the photons that are generated from such a dense iron crystal, we have a very, very, very rich environment with all of the necessary elements to sustain not just single-celled organisms, but a tier of cellular organisms, let alone even more multi and complex organisms.
That's a very reasonable assumption. And if I could just jump back into geology just for a minute, we know from our research that Earth and several of the other planets in our solar system are around 4.5 billion years old. We've measured all the, mountain ranges and volcanoes, and we pretty much know the age of the Earth. The strange thing is that the sea floors, the oldest sea floor on the Earth is only 50 million years old. The seafloor is a recent addition, and it doesn't take much more than a 9-year-old to see that all the continents of this planet once fit together very nicely. All the continental shelves from Australia all the way to Norway all fit together, all sides, all together, which means that the diameter of Earth wasn't always 7,100 miles. At one time, it probably was something around 2,500 miles. And then the crust expanded and cooled and slowed down. If the crust expanded away from the core, then according to the law of conservation of momentum, the crust slowed down and the core stayed at its original RPM. Which means we have a counter rotation, or at least a differential, between the core and the crust, and that's what's generating the magnetosphere. And it explains why it wobbles, because both bodies are obeying the Coriolis effect. They both have forces that are working perpendicular to the field of rotation, and that's why our North Magnetic Pole is moving all the time, and that's why the magnetosphere of Earth undulates all the time.
Let me cut to the chase here, because we're getting to a lot of scientific information some listeners might find, not quite as exciting.
What?
At the end of, you know how that works. We got a couple of scientists here, Brooke and Mark. But let's look at the practical aspects of this. We have these legends of civilizations beyond the Earth, within the hollow Earth. So a civilization like depicted in Pellucidar, or any of the depictions of living beings inside the Earth, humans surviving there. Is that possible?
Well, how about something more contemporary? How about 150 million people who have witnessed unidentified flying objects flying around our planet right now, today? And you have to wonder, okay, wait, I'm seeing them everywhere from Pakistan to California. Where do they go when they're not flying around the sky? And by the way, I think, at least is my opinion about UFOs, they're as present as they want to be. And if they wanted to be more present, there isn't anything we could do about it. But if there are all these sightings going on all the time, every day, all around the world, these craft have to come from somewhere. They have to park somewhere. And there are only two places on the planet that you can park unobserved by satellites, and that's on the bottom of the sea or inside the planet.
Yeah, I've always been a big proponent, Brooks, of the notion that if we let's entertain UFOs, if these are advanced craft, did they come here from, you know, millions of light years away, or are they some sort of remnant or breakaway civilization that had reached some advancement in their civilization, then was humbled through what we now know in science is a very cyclical, cataclysmic Earth, okay? And so we've been reset many times on this planet. So for me, it's just much more likely for me to believe that there was a civilization in the past that achieved a certain amount, they realized that they're not compatible, and maybe they reside exactly like you're saying, at the bottom of the ocean, caverns, middle of the Earth, etc. But I'd lean more onto that than I do the actual, you know, Zeta Reticuli type.
We got a lot more to come with Brooks, Mark, and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.